The Cookbook of Apicius by Jim Miller, starring Keith Floyd. Chapter 6, The Theatre.
Hail, precious readers. Welcome to my Cookbook of Apicius. Blah, blah, etc., etc. You fill in all the introductory stuff, Felix.
That's my job, Master. Ave salvaque, gastronomes of the Imperium, now and in eons yet undreamt of. Salutations to thee and to thy household gods.
Yes, 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 I meant to say, sir. I'm afraid I'm in a bit of a hurry with the old cookbook this evening, reader. You see, I've just got in from a hard day spectating at the arena, and a few of the boys I went with are coming round later for noseback, followed by a serious session on the dice. I know it's technically illegal to play for cash at home under the old anti-luxury laws of the Emperor Tiberius, but these days the police have got better things to worry about. I must say, you're lucky if you don't live in Rome, readers. They say the crime rate's worse than in Babylon, and who would have ever thought that would happen? Trying to stop a Roman gambling is like, well, trying to stop the sun going round the earth. Eh, Felix?
Well, to be honest, sir, the sun doesn't actually go round the... doesn't matter. Go on dictating.
What are you on about? Spit it out.
Nothing, sir. It would be all Greek to you.
Anyway, the boys have been working up a real hunger watching all that sword and stabbing stuff all day, so I want to show you how to prepare a simple filling meal in the traditional Roman style. The main dish I'm going to give you is lamb in onion and coriander sauce. So keep your quills sharp, Felix. I'll be giving you the details in a moment. But first, I'm going to deal with the psitticus I've been preparing in advance for starters. The lads have all gone off to the baths for a dip and a rub down while I get the dinner ready. So I've prepared a decent starter of roast psitticus, which I'm going to serve up with lots of fresh baked bread and cheese. I'll just get the psitticus out of the oven. Felix, what's psitticus in Greek, by the way?
Parrot, I believe.
Ah, that's it. Yes, yes, yes. Anyway, here's my nice roast parrot. All I've done is pluck the parrot, keep the feathers if it's a colourful beggar, makes a nice display around the platter, drench it in olive oil and roast it. Then, for the sauce, grind up your favourite spices. Lovage, celery seed, sesame seed.
Lovage, celery, sesame seed.
Parsley and mint with dried onion and dates.
Parsley, mint, onion, dates.
And simmer in honey. Wine, a little vinegar, and the juices from the pan and some pepper.
And add honey, wine, vinegar, and pepper.
This one parrot will do for four of us as a starter. If you're feeling flush, of course, you can use the same recipe for flamingo, which is pricey, but not as bad as it used to be. Personally, I find the flamingo a bit too stringy, a bit on the gamey side, because it's not a domesticated bird, whereas chicken is softened up by being domesticated. And I find parrot, in the same way, is made tender by being kept as a pet. Of course, as you may know, my grandfather, the first famous cook in the family, invented a ragu of flamingo's tongue, which they say Caligula was addicted to. But even the mad emperor ate a parrot when flamingos were out of season. In fact, they reckon it was eating a mentally diseased parrot that turned Caligula's mind.
A mentally diseased parrot?
Well, parrots are crazy. That's why they repeat everything you say. That's what Caligula got anyway.
Mad parrot disease.
That's it, mad parrot disease.
Right enough, they say he made his horse Incitatus a senator.
He did, he did. Apparently he was quite a good senator. Very conservative, you know.
Presumably, because every time they voted to change things, he said nay.
You could be right. Okay, I'm putting the parrot covered on the hot plate for a bit and add the sauce to it just before serving.
Anyway, parrots aren't crazy. They're very intelligent. That's why they can talk in Latin.
Nonsense, it's just mimicry. Though this one never repeated anything I said.
But it spoke just before it died.
Really? What did it say?
He said, I wonder when that old drink-sodden tub bucket's going to get back from the bath.
Well, that almost sounds like an oracle. I mean, that's not something that parrot ever heard, was it?
Oh, no, Master, no.
Anyway, that's the starters out of the way. Compos mentis parrot in a spice vinegar sauce with fresh bread and cheese. That's a seasoned cheese, by the way. If you don't know how to do this, take a decent slab of cheese. I'm using a nice fresh mozzarella I bought from the cheesemongers in the Velabrum this morning, and soak it for a few days in a mixture of pepper, cumin, and unfermented grape juice. Nice and sweet for a starter. All the spices and grapiness get soaked up by the mozzarella. Now for the main course, lamb. Here's the ingredients. Felix, I want you to get this quite clear.
Fire away, Master.
This is for four, with some leftovers for the slave.
Beacon feather salad for me, then.
A 2 to 3 pound leg of lamb.
Lamb.
Two big onions.
Big onions.
A teaspoon of coriander.
Coriander.
A teaspoon of cumin.
Cumin.
A small handful of chopped lovage.
Chopped lovage.
Or you can use celery leaves if you live in Africa. A few spoons of olive oil.
Olive oil.
Half a pint of chicken stock. Quarter pint of wine.
Wine.
And I'm using pepper because I know I'm going to win at the dice tonight. But for a normal mosh-up after the games, the lads will understand if you don't waste the expensive spices on them. Actually, we don't just play dice. My favourite gambling game we have is called Mictation.
What's that?
Basically, two of you hold out a certain number of fingers behind your back. Then you each guess how many the combined fingers will come to, and then simultaneously show your hands. It's a shame you can't gamble. What with being a slave, Felix, you'd love it. After all, you Greeks invented mathematics, didn't you?
It sounds an absolutely fascinating game, Master.
And make sure you're standing behind the other fellow's back, like I told you. We'll use our secret eye signs language. It's not cheating, you know. It's a Roman custom that the chap whose house it is gets what we call an edge.
Oh, dear. None of Master's friends is coming armed tonight, are they?
Don't be ridiculous, Felix. I trust them all. That's my motto, you know. Don't have a friend unless you can play Mictation with them in the dark. Now, back to the dictation.
Right.
Now, I've already had my lamb roasting in the oven underneath the parrot, and it should be almost done. But this is the method you use. Chop one of the onions as finely as possible. In a mortar, put half the cumin, half the coriander, and half the lovage or celery. Grind it all up and add to the onion. Mix in a drop or two of olive oil to make it sticky. Then rub it over the leg of lamb like a paste and roast it in a medium oven for around about 30 minutes to the livre. Got that? Good. There, it's been in there about an hour and a half and just needs a little longer, which gives me time for a thirst-quenching slurp. Ooh. Got to keep a reasonably keen head for the game tonight, so I'm sticking with a gentle honey wine which we Romans call Malsum. It's basically 50-50% honey and white wine mixture, which I take diluted with mineral water. That's the secret of dice. Stick to soft drinks. You know, although I much prefer the races, you've got to admit, Felix, it wasn't such a bad day at the Colosseum today, was it?
You like that sort of thing?
Yes, reader, even though Felix is a slave, I'm allowed to bring him along to the amphitheatre so he can sit and watch the games.
Stand and watch the games. For 7 hours.
Stand, yes, yes. There's a special terrace right at the top for slaves and peregrines. That's what we call foreigners. But watching people fight to the death can be a great laugh once in a while, Felix. The only trouble is, the games run about 100 days a year, and they're definitely pulling the crowds away from the Circus Maximus. And as for the proper theatre, they might as well close up shop completely, or put on belly-dancing strippers for all the audiences they're getting. I mean, your classicism, like myself, I'll go and see a Greek drama up at Domitian's Odeon once or twice a year to support the arts, obviously.
And because it's got real women playing the female parts.
And because it's got real women playing the female parts.
And because most of it's performed in the nude.
And because most of it's performed in the nude. You are a cultured slave, Felix. You understand the sort of refined taste I possess. But the plebs have lost all interest in any entertainment which doesn't involve people getting killed. At the circus, there's always a couple of fatalities in the 8 chariot smash-ups. And as for the Colosseum, I think I saw about 30 men die today. Which, to be honest, is quite distasteful to a man of my refinement. I was only watching because the other chaps were. But the games are definitely good education for the lower orders. It gives them a taste for manly bloodshed. And let's face it, killing, rightly or wrongly, is what this wonderful empire of ours is ultimately founded on.
But, sir, haven't you ever considered that watching constant, unremitting acts of brutality and violence, purely for trivial entertainment, and from the age of childhood onwards, creates violence and aggression in society?
Of course, it's great, isn't it? Keeps us tough in case the Germans ever invade.
Oh, right.
My good friend Hector claims that fights to the death should be banned. Apparently the Greeks have never gone in for them. But if you banned fighting, it would only go underground, and that would be infinitely more dangerous. There'd be no doctors on hand for a start. I don't think you'd find any gladiator who saw it as progress. And when people are fatally wounded in the arena like today, the soldiers come on and polish them off with their lances, which is the humane thing to do, eh, Felix?
I totally agree. Without regulation, the whole thing would degenerate into a revolting, obscene, barbaric spectacle.
You're shrewder than you look, Felix. Okay, now for the sauce. Take the remaining cumin.
Cumin.
Coriander. And lovage.
Lovage.
Or, as I said, celery.
Or celery.
And I'm just grinding these up in the mortar and into the saucepan. I'm adding the pepper, a very large pinch, and the stock.
Stock.
There, the stove's hot enough to start bringing this to the boil, and in goes the olive oil, and finally the wine.
Olive oil, wine.
Just get that to simmering point, okay? to a gentleman like myself. The worst violence up at the Coliseum isn't out on the sand, but up on the stands. I always pay over the auspices in the equestrian section. There's nearly always trouble on the plebs terracing. Do you know, there have been two gangs in particular recently called the Big Ears and the Little Ears, who regularly riot over which it's other. Indian elephants or African elephants? What a pathetic thing to fight over. Everyone knows Big Ears means stronger. At least in humans it does, so it must be the same for elephants.
I blame society, sir.
Society? I've heard of that. It's the Greek god or something, isn't it?
No, I mean the way the modern state is constructed, sir. There's 1.25 million of people in this city, and more than half of the male population has no work. They depend on handouts from the emperor. If they spend all day with nothing to do, you're only encouraging violence and riots.
That's typical Greek trendy sociological drivel, Felix. No wonder Alexander's empire only lasted 20 years. If you've got hooligans, then they only understand one language. Nail them up. I'd do it. If I could get hold of some of these young thugs who rip up seats at the Colosseum, I would happily nail them up myself. There's no such thing as society, Felix. It's the government I blame. If you're going to have a military dictatorship led by an autocratic emperor ruling at the point of a sword, then by Jove, let's have a military dictatorship led by an emperor ruling at the point of a sword. You know, this old-fashioned democracy nonsense only upsets me, Felix. Let's get back to the cookery. Now, the lamb's almost ready, so I'm taking it out to put it on the hot plate with the parrot. The lads will only want meat after the game, so I'm not bothering with vegetables. But this would go nicely with fried carrots and beans in a white sauce. You'll find those recipes elsewhere in the completed version of the cookbook.
Best forget the carrots. Don't want to get mad carrot disease.
We just end by thickening the sauce, and the best way to do this is take a couple of lumps of stale bread, left in the oven till they're hard but still white. Place between two sheets of cloth and crush them with a rolling pin as finely as possible. Sprinkle into the sauce off the heat and then brief the boil again, and it thickens nicely. Hector claims I'm a hypocrite, of course, since at the chariot races I belong to the red faction, and there's always trouble between the reds and the yellows. And you know what you get when you put the reds and yellows together?
Oranges.
Violence. But there's no parallel. Racing factions are traditional. My father and grandfather were both hardcore reds, and when there's trouble, it's never in the ground, always away from the public, and fought according to strict rules. Racing's a much more aristocratic sport, and definitely safer, especially since the emperor had all the wooden sections of the Circus Maximus rebuilt in stone, so the reds and yellows can't burn it down anymore. Anyway, the boys will be here in a minute. You got everything ready, Felix?
Yes, sir. I put out your special dice.
Good boy.
And as soon as you've won 50 sesterces, I have to wink at you to start losing, so it doesn't look too suspicious.
Good-o. I'll be going down to the Borum Boarium tomorrow, making a little Thanksgiving offering in the Temple of Fortune. Anyway, Felix, wrap up your scrolls and start letting them in. I'll talk to you in the next chapter, readers. Valle Salute Quay.
The Cookbook of Apicius starred Keith Floyd as Apicius and Alan Francis as Felix. It was written by Jim Miller. The production assistant was Helen Williams, and the producer was Jane Bertou.